Hey, how's it going, everybody? This is Redfish Chuck on the new Monday Night Show. For those of you that don't know who I am, I'm Chuck Levi. I live on the space coast of Florida. I'm a kayak guide and also a tackle shop manager. I do all things kayak related, freshwater, saltwater, inshore, offshore. And joining me tonight on the phone is my good friend Rob, a bad back cast of ore. Rob, how are you?
Good, man. How are you? Good. Good.
Doing good.
Good,
doing
day.
Good.
Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard the Kayak Fishing Radio Network gang of hosts that we have here, man. And your insight is definitely welcome to all kayak fishermen all over the world, man. So we're glad to have you on board.
No, I appreciate it, man. It's good to be here.
Chuck, just because you have your own show now doesn't mean that you can't call my show anymore. I mean, you still got to call my show too, you know.
Oh yeah, you know I will, buddy. So I'm gonna go ahead and just jump right into it. I did a little bit of fishing today, actually, and got out on the water for the first time in forever. And it was a pretty good day. Conditions weren't exactly spectacular. The wind picked up, and I had really, really dirty water in the Mosquito Lagoon, which is a little unusual. But I squeaked out a couple of redfish and lost a giant trout. Dee would have been proud of me if I'd have landed that one. But, yeah, it was a good day. Started off early, and I think Rob and I believe a couple of the other guys that came down and fished with us could attest to the fact that Mosquito Lagoon is referred to as Mosquito Lagoon for a reason. yeah, for sure. Well, I got out of the truck to launch the kayak, and by the time I hit the water, I had probably, I don't know, 300 or 400 mosquitoes buzzing around my head and around my legs, and I never got away from them until I was probably a good mile or so away from the west side there. So it was pretty crazy. But, so, Rob, did you get out and do any fishing this weekend?
Yeah, man. Actually, hit the Gandy really early on Saturday morning, and we were planning on going down and fishing some holes south of the power plant, but the wind was blowing, like, right in our face, and I didn't really, you know, by the time we were... You know, me and my buddy Keith, we were going to go down to the Demo Days event right there at the Gandy. So, you know, it would have taken us, and we were only going out to fish for a couple of hours and then going out staffing. And we ended up, so we just kind of paddled over to the power plant and kind of let the wind push us back. And caught a nice trout that shook off right next to the boat. I would have had to guess it was probably in the 18 to 20 inch range, and a couple of zinc trout, about a 15 to 20 inch ladyfish, and I didn't touch a fish all day. They all shook off next to the boat, so that was my day. Keith caught probably a handful of zinc trout and a couple of ladyfish, so it wasn't spectacular. It's summertime fishing. You know, in Florida.
They got out on the water. That's important, man. And they're clean releases. Didn't have to get all slimy, so
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, and we ran over to the Demo Days event, and that was pretty cool. And Keith took a couple of kayaks out, and we turned around and went back, went to Bill Jackson's and tried out a couple over there. And, you know, that was it, man. It was more of a kayak shopping trip more than a fishing trip, really. But, you know, there's other opportunities, and it's summertime, and, you know, it's Florida. So it was a good little trip. It got everything on either a Miradine or a gold curly DOA curly tail on a 1/16 ounce J-head. That's the go-to
thing
right
now.
Me.
You reminded me now that I forgot to tell everybody what I caught my fish on. It was funny. I was wanted to try something a little bit different, and I was looking through my bag of tricks that I have here at the house, and I found a bag of DOA jerk shads that I got from Mark Nichols back at one of the vendor shows, and it was a new color that he just come out with. It's almost, I don't even know what it's called. There's no sticker on the bag to let me know, but it's almost a like a pilchard color. It's like green. It's got flake in it. It's really kind of cool. So I was throwing that most of the morning and not being very successful until I moved over to the edge of a bar. There's a series of really nice sandbars that I tend to work at just outside this launch area over there at Beacon 42 in the Mosquito Lagoon. And I got over to the deep side of that one bar and made a couple casts. And sure enough, lo and behold, third or fourth cast, I got a nice little red fish, probably about 19 or 20 inches.
Nice.
Absolutely blasted the thing. Yeah, it was awesome. So I ended up throwing that for another probably 15, 20 minutes. And then I decided to go ahead and switch over to my old standby favorite from DOA, which is the Arkansas glow-colored paddle tail. And that's what I caught the remaining fish on and lost that big trout on. So it was good. It was really good. I got a couple callers on the line already. Area code 304. Who are we talking to?
It's Kayla.
Hey, Kayla. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Did you get out and do any fishing this weekend?
Yes, sir, I did. I spent most of my weekend, huh?
I was just asking how you did.
Well, I spent most of my weekend casting and then handing the pole over and then waiting for a bobber to go into the water and then, like, setting the hook and then unhooking fish and putting them back in the water. And that was a good time. The kids had a wonderful time. It was really good. But Saturday night, all the kids were at a dance. And I had some people come up and ask me if I knew anywhere around there that we could go do reel fishing. So I took them to the Sutton Dam, and it was...
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Tuesday Night with a Double L. How do we sound? Everybody hear us good? You out there? Chris?
I'm here.
All right. Cool. All right. Well, we seem to have a chat room full of people tonight. A lot of guests in there. Got some, the original group in there, too. Chip. Tagging along, keeping an eye on the two of us tonight. D.D. Olson, Hammerhead, Jim Van Pelt. Look at Tommy V from Virginia Beach is in there. Cool. All right, everybody. Well, real quick tonight, we'd like to thank you for listening in. It's our first show, so hopefully we won't stumble it up too much. Myself, Mark Lozier, and my wife, Chris. Say hello, Chris.
Hi, people.
So tonight we think we're just going to kind of give you guys a little get-to-meet-us kind of time here, get to let everybody know what we're about, what we're into with the kayak world, and answer any questions if you have for us. So without any further on that, I guess I'd go ahead and first like to thank Chip for giving us the opportunity to even do this. It's a privilege to be associated with all the other people here on Kayak Fishing Radio. There's a lot of people we've been following and calling in, so it's a little different from our end now, doing our own thing. So, like I said, we're newbies to the whole radio. Everybody's been seeing Chris has been joking me, saying I'm nervous. I'm just nervous because I'm not used to talking to a phone with 100 people listening. I do a lot of seminars, and you can talk to a room full of people and get kind of the feel how they're doing when they start looking around, they're bored, or if they're laughing, they're listening, but... can't tell what you guys are doing out there. So we're gonna. That's where my nervousness comes from. But anyway, we're gonna go ahead and get going here. Like I said, I thank Chip for everything, all the folks at Yak Angler, and Kate and the Kayak Fishing Radio Show. So anything you want to say before I get running my mouth, honey?
Well, I just second everything that you said, and I'm equally flattered and flattered to be asked in on this new venture. Hope everybody bears with me. Just let me know when that German accent just gets too much for y'all, and I'll try to tune it down a bit.
It only gets real bad when she's mad at me, so we should be all right unless I screw up. And this is what everybody know that's listening, too. Chris and I are nowhere near each other. I'm in the cold state of Florida. I thought I was in sunny Florida, but today it's cold as the whole East Coast, I guess, is experiencing. And she's back home at Virginia Beach, so we're going to be running it like this for a while until I can get home to my family and friends. So we're not even near each other. So just to give everybody an idea, so we're kind of pecking at it along from two different states. So that's where we're at now. So about the Lozers, I'm not going to speak much for Chris. I'll let her go ahead and talk about herself. But for me, I'm probably like a lot of people that started fishing. I started in the Virginia Beach area, fishing from the shore and wading. And for anybody who's familiar with our area, we fish around the Lesnar Bridge a lot, which is an area where a lot of ships come and go to fish out in the ocean and the bay. And I used to stand on the beach with my big surf rod, 12-footer, and a chunk of bait, slinging it out there. And I said, man, I want to get out there. So I sucked it up and bought a boat. Did that for several years in Virginia. Had a great time fishing out of the boat, but felt like I wanted to do something else. And I got a kayak. And luckily for me at the time, I got the kayak was just when the sport had started. And in our area, we had also just started a local anglers club, TKA, with Chad Hoover, Corey, and a couple of other people started the club, small group of anglers at the time, because, like I said in the beginning, Kayak Kevin was in there. The kayaking wasn't really big. So that was pretty cool. And it kind of just took off from there for me. I hardly ever used my boat, and it got to the point where I sold the boat because it sat in the driveway, and I took the kayak because it's so easy, as everybody here, if you've already been kayak fishing, hopefully maybe we got some new to kayakers here, and they're just checking it out. But if you kayak, you know how easy it is just to take that little plastic boat, throw it in the water, and take off. So I stopped using my boat, got smart, sold that, and just took off in the kayak. Just enjoyed it, enjoyed everything about it. And really, to this day, I still don't miss that boat. It's a lot of work. Everybody's like, don't you miss the boat? No, I don't miss it. There's 2 hours of cleaning afterwards, all the prep and salt water, rinsing your motor. So I always joke that if it rains, my kayak gets washed. If it doesn't, well, then I guess it didn't get washed. I don't have to worry about it too much. So made it a lot of fun. But anyway, with my kayaking, anyhow, I got started doing it that way. Got real fortunate, like I said earlier, because I started in the beginning when it wasn't that popular. Fell in with a lot of good guys, got out on the water. And from there, I was asked by Corey Root to join him and his Rootless Fishing Company and start guiding. And that took me a lot of places that I'm very thankful for this day, and got hooked up with a lot of good endorsements, a lot of sponsorships. And it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun, too. And I think, you know, with all that being said, one of the things I started with was saying about joining TKA, and I think things like TKA or local kayaking clubs for anybody out there is a great thing to get involved in. The forums, listening to kayak fishing radio, online sites like Yak Angler, things like that. So that's real good for anybody getting started. And that's what helped me, because I got to go out there with Kayak Kevin and those guys and learn about the sport. And so it really helps you get a grip on it. And anyway, back to where I was at today. So today we're here, we are. Chris and I just launched our company this year, and we're pretty excited about that. We're going to be offering guided kayaking trips and doing my seminars and stuff like that. So it's really exciting that in a short period of time, I've really came a long ways in the whole sport, but it's really not that short a period when I look back now over the 15-plus years I've been fishing. So it's pretty exciting. And then that's probably one of the best things about this show is that other half here, Chris, started out with me, and she just wanted to kayak. She didn't want to fish, and, well, she can take it from there. But eventually we bought her a fishing pole, and the rest is history as far as she's concerned. Tell them how you got started, honey.
Actually, I'm trying to think. Was it the second trip out?
Second or third, I believe, yeah.
I initially just wanted to, you know, get on the water and see it from a different angle and just paddle around a little bit and, you know, watch smart fish while I was looking at all kinds of goodies and, you know, the wildlife birds. I'm particularly intriguing birds. People that know me or they see me fish, they always see me look up and trying to see what's going on and what we got flying overhead. And the third time out, we were in Lynn Haven. Mark goes, come on, try it here. I'll give you a rod. You just, you know, do what I do. And it was fairly quick, too. Like within 30 minutes, I was hooked up. Little red drum. And I was hooked. I had that fish in my hand. I felt the art. I felt it make noise. And that was it. I just couldn't get enough. Lots of times, even now, I have the car, the truck all packed up, ready to go. Mark, let's go fishing. Now, the rest is history.
Yeah, yeah, you gotten bit pretty well, haven't you?
I'd say so. Uh-huh. If there is one thing I could do, fish all the time. Of course, you know, work supports the little habit, so, and it's become quite a bit of a habit.
It's a good one. And with that fishing, we've been involved, and I know a lot of people here in the Kayak Fishing Radio are involved with, is the HOW organization. And that's something that is really true and dear to Chris and I and a lot of other people is the HOW. And if people aren't familiar with that, Heroes on the Water, and there's several other great organizations out there now that use fishing and to help our veterans, to get them out on the water, to get them away from everything that's going on in their lives. And that's something that sometimes I wish I could do more of than I do. But if you guys, anybody out there is listening, if you have a local HOW chapter in your area, I'd strongly suggest taking the time. It's really rewarding. It's something that, like I said, I wish we could do more of, but we're pretty busy and we try to attend as many of our HOW events in our area. So if you're interested, you can go to the HOW website and you can look for the local chapters in your area. Or, you know what, start one yourself. It's been popping up all over. That's another thing that I was very fortunate with in the beginning of HOW. Jim Dolan, the guy who started the whole thing, came to Tidewater when all he had was just his chapter in Texas and asked us if we'd be interested in starting one in our area. And anybody who's from our area knows what a great, you know, the military, our area would not be there if it wasn't for the military. So we have a pretty loyal fan base there with all the military, and we took it on. And Tom Vanderheiden's our local chapter director now. Corey was the beginning of it, and it's been an honor to help those guys out and get them on the water. And like I said, you get them out of the hospital. And it doesn't have to be currently injured, so to speak, veterans. I've had people from Vietnam era out there. So it's not definitely somebody that's just coming back from the war that we're in now, but from all periods. And Project Healing Waters is another one. So if anybody's out there that has a local HOW chapter and interested, look them up. They'd love to have you. There's a lot of good things going on there with HOW. Another thing that I will not be able to do this year, but I see it's already passed me by in the chat room. Everybody who's talked to me about this show, you're right. Keeping up with the chat room, keeping up with everything else, it gets a little maddening. But the Yak Angler Boondoggle that's coming up, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that's, what, the 20th of February in that time frame, down in Chokoloski, Florida. I know I just butchered that, but anyway. You can get your information there. Go ahead, honey.
Chip muted himself. Oh, there he goes. He put up the link.
There you go. Chuck put up the link in the chat room. It's kayakfishingradio.com/boondoggle, and I think you can also get it there from Yak Angler. So that looks like a great event. Unfortunately, we won't be able to attend that because we have a prior engagement the week after, and we can't spread ourselves too thin. Yeah, yakangler.com for the boondoggle, /boondoggle. So y'all go check that out. If you're not have not heard about it. They do one or two a year with Yak Angler, and they travel to a location, and everybody basically meets up and gets together and goes and fishes, has a good time. So it looks like this is going to be another good event. I believe I heard the other night that they're getting a lot of people checking into it. February 17th to the 20th. Thanks, Chip. Guess I need to make better notes here. So, yeah, so we got the Boondoggle coming up. Anything else going on that's coming up this winter? That's one thing this winter, the winter time, a lot of people, there's a lot of fishing shows going on throughout the country, and there's a lot of good times to get out there, so you should be looking in your area, too, for fishing shows, boating shows, where you can get a lot of tackle shows, things like that, trade shows that are going on. It's a good time in the winter. A lot of places, you know, maybe down here in Florida and certain places in the country, but fishing starts slowing down when it gets cold, so that's when these shows start popping up all over the country. So that's another good thing to start looking for out there. Take in some, I know there's several in our area, in Richmond and some other places. Yeah, Boondoggle, everybody's getting excited on the chat room. I said Boondoggle. I just should have started the show saying Boondoggle. Got everybody all wound up there. All right. Well, we don't have anybody in the call on the line there, Chris, waiting to be.
Yeah, that's
Kayak Kevin's on there. Let's unmute Kayak Kevin and see what's going on over there on the Eastern Shore. Kevin's back on the Eastern Shore looking for the big elusive stripers that are swimming around out there.
Hey, man,
you in there?
Yeah, you got me?
Yeah, I got you, brother. Hey. We had you on mute. Like, hey, what's going on? How's the fishing over there on the Eastern Shore?
Going not happening right now with the 40-mile-an-hour winds that we have.
Oh, is it blowing up there? I got you.
Yeah, it's blowing pretty well.
Cool. How has it been before the blow? You guys been getting on any?
Yeah, they're still spread out throughout the area, but they're around. After this blow, once the temperatures kind of come back up again, we're going to, seems like for the next couple of days, we're going to have northwest cold fronts, and then it's going to shift around southwest, warm up a little bit, and then hit another cold front again. So it's going to be kind of fluctuating within our temperature range for these stripers to stay here. So after this, should be pretty good, and should be good for at least another week or so.
Oh, awesome. I don't know if you had a chance over there, and I'm not going to spit it out because I briefly saw this today. It was an article, I believe it was in the Pilot on their online edition. It was either the Pilot or the paper from the other side of the world. It was at the Daily. Anyway, it was an article about kayakers and how the kayakers should stop going after the stripers and fishing this time of year. And
I saw that. I didn't see that one.
It's on Facebook. And I'll put it up. I'll put it on our Facebook account tonight when I get off. I don't want to spit it out because I don't have it in front of me. But basically, the article is, I just found it kind of funny because the guy was saying how the kayak angler shouldn't be out there this time of year, and it's not safe for us and all. And I just found it really funny because, I mean, I have talked to several people from the Coast Guard and other law enforcement out there, and they said they usually stay away from asking us or bothering the kayakers in our area this time of year because we're the safest people on the water. Not to say there's boaters out there that aren't safe. I don't want to start a big old storm on my first night on the radio, but I mean, most, if not all, of the kayakers who are out there now, chasing those big striper, we're all dressed properly, we got all the safety equipment and then some, and we don't go out there alone. And it was just, if you read the article, like I said, I'll have to put it up somewhere, or somebody else that's on here knows where it's at. It was pretty funny, and the funniest part about the article is the guy, he's definitely misinformed, but one of the things he said in there was about the stripers growing to 20 inches and 30 pounds. And I don't know where he ever saw a 20-inch striper that went 30 pounds, but I thought that was quite funny. And to say in the same breath, he was saying how they were targeting them over there on the Eastern Shore. There you go. Somebody just put up that article, I believe, now.
Yeah.
Targeting those species on the Eastern Shore this time of year, I don't think nobody's targeting a 20-inch striper over there at the concrete ships. At least they're not targeting them. Anyway, if they're catching them, that's one thing. But it was pretty funny. I read the article, and I don't know. Yak Sushi says, unless they live in Florida, Mark. But, yeah, so a 20-inch striper weighing 30 pounds, I don't know what they're eating. So, but, yeah, that was a pretty
well, –
yeah,
I guess
it looked
like
that link out.
Look like that fish that Justin caught a couple weeks ago. Did you see that picture?
Yeah,
like
off,
a,
Yeah. All belly, no head. Yeah, yeah.
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 Well, that's the backlash. All that is the backlash from, you know, guys have fallen in around here. But the first one that got the most news and the most publicity was not part of the kayak fishing crew. This guy was trying to do a survival man type of thing out in the Eastern Shore Barrier Islands, which is crazy this time of year. There's no fish to survive off of. I mean, you're basically eating oysters the whole time. But he wasn't so much of a kayaker and, you know, dumped his boat twice. That time that he had to get rescued, that was his second time in the water. So he was a whole different thing. And
is it wannabe Bear Grylls? Is that what you're saying? He wanted to be Bear Grylls kind of guy.
He absolutely was trying to be a wannabe, trying to be a survivor man out there or something. You know.
Oh, wow.
But, there was a couple kayakers that had fallen off. But, you know, the thing was they just could not get back on their kayaks. They were with buddies. They were, you know, everything was safe. They just couldn't get back on. So that's another thing of practicing that reentry.
Yes, definitely. And that's something I don't know. I spoke earlier. I don't know if you're listening about TK and some of the other clubs. I know we always offer every year about October, November, we offer a class, and I give those instructions with my trips too if people ever want them. That's something anybody out there, you have got to know how to reenter. But not only know how to reenter, but reenter in the clothing and the gear that you're going to be wearing
right.
when you're fishing. In July,
right.
flipping the boat in the middle of the bay with a pair of shorts on is not the same as with your dry suit on, your PFD, you know, it's totally different. And I don't mind calling myself out here. I know you'll remember this day when I turtled, yeah, that's right, over there on the Eastern Shore. You remember that, Kevin? You paddled out and said, hey, Lozier, you look a little wet.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you remember now, don't you?
Yes,
that was
sir.
Me
yes,
just
sir.
Trying to help somebody else pick up a fish to get back in the boat.
Right.
And I kept leaning over. I leaned over again, and I just went whoop right over. But in less than, I don't know, 10 seconds, I was sitting back down on my seat, and the only thing I lost was a glove and a little pride. So, but if you don't practice it, you're definitely, it doesn't take long in that cold water.
Hey, Mark.
I
just saw on Appomattox, people need to check Appomattox website. They got one coming up, one of those recovery, self-recovery classes. It's either the end of this month or sometime in February. I did see it. It's at some community pool.
All right. Well, there you go. So, it's a definitely anybody out there, you know, who has not yet taken that time to learn how to re-enter your boat. And like I said, again, re-enter your boat with the gear you're going to be wearing when you're on the water is definitely something you need to do. I mean, you need to do it anyway. Summertime, you can fall out and it's still not pleasant to be in the water. So, you know, once you've dumped that boat, you need to get back in it. But don't go out there at night. And that's the other thing with the concrete shifts or anywhere is that you're going new or first time, go with somebody else, like Kevin said already, that you know, a lot of people are going out there with buddies and friends. You're not going out there by themselves unless you are taping your own edition of Survivor Man or something. Then otherwise, you should be out there with somebody else.
I don't know if you saw the thing on Facebook where it's tossed about here. It's Lee. It's just a split screen between me and Lee. And it's just that's what we were talking about with that Survivor Man guy that he and the shoals, you know, from what we gather on the news thing that he did, he launched out of this one spot and had to come across this little sandbar, basically, you know, a small shoal. And that's where he said his boat was doing somersaults and cartwheeling and stuff like that, and we were, you know, couldn't understand how that shoal, which is a benign inside the bay shoal, could do that. I mean, it was a calm night that night, and unless he got hit with a, you know, a giant wake or something like that, it might have happened. But yeah, that video where we're cracking up is that's the story behind, that's the backstory on that one.
Oh, I got you. So when it lays down, when you're going back out now, are you guys going to be back at the ships? Or I saw you put up the other day that you went a little north towards Plantation and up that way. So are you feeling like the fish are going to be coming back down, or you don't want to tell anybody on here which way you think they're heading? Or what?
No. It's all open. Well, typically that is the spot they first start when they start coming down the bay and they start getting this area. It's the high rise, which is south of the ships, and that area along that 80-foot trench. They'll stay on the 40-foot water and the sides and on the shelf of that trench, and this, you know, typically that happens about a week, and then they start moving into the shallow water around the ships. But since this year has kind of been a long, kind of weird late year, that hopefully after this cold front, they'll have that pattern and they start moving into the ships. You know, a few have been caught around it, but it's just not there real thick as they have been. But after this cold front, it might. So, you know, right now, we're not going to have any reports as soon as this wind starts blowing until some boaters get out there and kind of figure out what's going on. But we'll start at the ships, and then if we don't catch them there, we'll start to move out and see if we can catch them at buoy 18, which is just outside of that, the ship's area.
Right.
And all that.
Well, that's a good thing now, too, is for those people out there who don't know, is in our region, 31st, the bay season closed for keeping fish. So
Typically
you're not going to find a lot of boats out there now. Most of the boaters, they want to be out there where they can catch big fish and keep big fish.
Exactly. A week ago, that area had 100,000 boats on it, and the fish could be still there, and there's not going to be too many boats on it because they can't kill them. So they're going out into the ocean to be able to take them.
So the only people out there in boats now are people that are going to be looking for paperwork, and then other than that, it'll be a lot of kayakers, I guess. So
yeah,
pretty cool.
Yeah, well, luckily I know a couple of those boaters, so I can get some reports from them as soon as they get out there.
Catch
and release.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing from you and hearing from how all that's going. At least I am down here in Florida because I'm not up there to be able to get a chance to go out there with you. I believe we got... Nate's on the phone. Let's see if we can get Nate here. Nate, you with us?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Hey, what's going on, man? I kept you on hold there for a minute. I was seeing you were on here, and then I remembered you talking about doing some striper fishing, and we had Kevin on there. So what are you last week, I think it was on one of the shows, talking about trying to get after some stripers coming up soon?
Well, yeah, I'd like to. I never have. Coming up soon, I don't know about that, but that is one of the things I want to do this year.
Cool. Are you on the road tonight?
I'm supposed to be. I'm currently driving around looking for a $10 part that's holding up my whole operation.
not good. Well, good luck with that.
One of those things, part of it. Yeah, I've never caught a striper at all, so we do have them here. I've never caught one, so that's one of the things I want to do. Northeast Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
So you have like a hybrid stripers? Hybrid stripers in your area?
We have hybrids. We have hybrids and stripers both.
Cool. Awesome. Well, hopefully you'll get that species then.
I'd like to.
It's good to have a list, though. It's good to have a list of the fish that you want to catch and target them. That way you can start checking them off your bucket list of fish, so you keep that striper on there and then you can replace it with something else.
Right.
What's one of your
Very
bucket
cool.
list fish, Lozier?
One of my bucket list fish?
Yeah, Lozier. Name one of your bucket list fish.
Oh, wow.
Don't even think about it. Just answer one.
Snook would be one of the ones. I've caught snook before from a boat, but on the kayak I like to get out there and do. I love snook. I always said if speckled trout, red drum, and snook were the only three species that swim and I could go after them, I'd be happy because those are my three favorite. But I've yet to do that in a kayak, was to go after a snook. So I'd love to catch a snook because they're a lot of fun. They're smart little creatures. Gosh, how many times they break you off and, you know, you get them in the mangroves and stuff like that. They know what to do.
Yeah.
So I've yet to catch one. I mean, I've caught tarpon before out of a boat, again, but I don't know. I guess it'd be fun and exciting on a kayak, but I don't know why. Something about the snook would probably be one of my bucket lists.
And where you are in Florida right now with this, where you are in Florida with this job right now, you're not in snook range. You would have to go pretty
Correct.
Far south.
No. Yeah, much further south, and I believe south and around the other corner. I'm on the right below Jacksonville, I think it's all going off because actually I saw some reports today, but it's over there towards where they're going for their boondoggle. All the fish are, that's where it seems like the snook bite is this time of year. So, yeah, so they'll be getting in among. Yes, exactly. So, yeah, that would be one of the things that I would put on my list. Chris, I know what's on yours. Tell everybody about your.
A red over
NBC.
30 inches.
Your NBC fish. What about your peacock bass?
Oh, yeah. That would be secondary to the 30-inch red. A red over 30 inches.
Oh, come on. That's nothing. You could do that this spring. I mean, yeah. But, yeah,
Kevin,
a rooster fish, that's a good one.
I've seen your videos. Come on now. No, the other saltwater fish would. It's a tough call. Rooster fish, yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's mine. That's mine.
You know, there's actually, I saw not too long ago, there were a couple of sellouts that actually caught them on spinning rods. We've, up until recently, only seen videos of fly fishing guys catching the rooster fish.
Yeah, well, Salmons does that. He'll guide people out there in the Baja and take them out rooster fish. But that just seems like, you know, it's like a jack with a big old bull drum head on it, and they're right up in the surf. I mean, that's just like a red drum jack crazy fight. You know, the Salmons was telling me about this guy that the fish pulled him up on the shoreline. He peached him and then pulled him back out again. I mean, that's crazy. That's what I'm talking about.
The Trevelli.
Have you ever watched? Have you ever seen Running Down the Man?
No.
Oh, you got to watch that video. It's the Felt Soul guys of fly fishing. Getting off of the kayak topic for a minute, but every year, you know, they had the Fly Fishing Film Festival, and this is probably 4 or 5 years ago. The group from Felt Soul, they did the Running Down the Man, it was called, and they were literally down in the Baja, and they were surf fishing with the fly for the rooster fish. And they would, one guy was up in a like dead tree spotting them out, and then the other guys, I mean, they're hauling down the beach. It's pretty funny. You guys got to watch it if you like. It's even if you don't fly fish, just to watch them. So he's like, they're running down the beach the whole time. They're like stripping line, making their false cast while they're running, getting ready to hurl it out into the surf, you know. And they didn't get a lot of hookups, but just to watch them, because you can see them, like you just said, they're big bulls, and they're riding the surf line, eating bait and stuff like that, you know. And the wave goes up, and you see that big black and white striped jailbird, you know, swimming through there. And this guy's like just punching it out there with a 10 weight, trying to get this big old fly to these fish. And occasionally they'd hook up, but it's a really good Running Down the Man. Pretty cool to watch. You need to check that out, Kevin, then, from the surf.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Pretty cool. Hey, it looks like we got another homeboy from the Virginia Beach area, Wayne Bradby, on the line. Let's see what Mr. Bradby's up to tonight. Wayne, what's going on? How you doing, sir?
Pretty good, Mark. How are you doing?
Yeah, we're
I'm
doing
here.
Pretty good. I got you. A little delay, I guess. We're still trying to figure out all this switchboard and delay and whatever, but I think we're doing pretty good so far. I don't see everybody bailing out of the chat room yet, so I guess we're doing okay.
They're just sitting
there waiting
to hear if you're going to give up secret fishing spots, Mark.
I haven't been home enough to get any secret fishing spots. It's all changing, so there hasn't been any secrets for us. How you doing, Wayne? Everything going good? How's your new year starting out?
Doing pretty well. A little chilly here, as you well know, in Virginia. Just came back over to HRBT, and it's a washing machine out there. And, of course, birds are working from the island all the way to the small boat channel.
That's what striper fishing, you know, that's what I always just, the worst day for you on the water is the better the day it is for striper fishing usually. So, but not in your kayak, that's for sure.
Well, there's nobody out there tonight. It's ugly and cold. So, but, you know, every time you cross that bridge, you always look down to see.
Right,
yeah. So
that's how all those wrecks happen.
What? Say that again?
I said that's how all those wrecks happen on the bridge, is everybody looking over to see what's going on in the water and they're not paying attention. And that's what causes all that backup to the HRBT.
Well, watching us catch fish down there anyway.
Yeah, cool.
Do you have any discussion on fish you'd like to catch that you've never caught? I kind of missed the first part because I wasn't able to get hold of him.
A bucket list. Nate was on there saying that he liked to catch, he's never done a striper, and so then we've just kind of been round robin on it. So yeah, what's your bucket list fish, Wayne?
Well, I do need to catch a sheep's head here, so that'd be a local fish. I've caught them in Florida, but never off a kayak here, and they get much bigger here, obviously. But the one I really want to catch that I tried several years ago is called a tiger fish.
Yeah.
It's a South African fish. It looks like a striper with tiger teeth, literally.
I know which one you're talking about. That's what that Larry Dahlberg, I've seen him, I think it was, catching big ugly things. All right, well, you let us know how that works out, Wayne. We know how you and sharp things get along, so you let me know how that sharp-toothed fish and you get along, okay?
I had to stay away from that or use a wire leader or a gap or something, because I don't think I need to be anywhere near those teeth.
And I'm sure rather large treble hooks to go along with that wire leader.
Yeah,
well, I don't
think
you
want to force steel.
You don't need to be slinging around a gaff there, will you?
You're probably right.
For those of you who don't know, Wayne isn't a local guy for our area, but Wayne seems to have a poor, uncanny way of getting himself injured or things going wrong for himself. And, you know, it's funny you say that. I say that, Wayne, but somebody in the chat room, and I won't give up any names, is asking me to ask you about your rock tossing episode. So we all know about that.
I know who it is. You don't even have to tell
me.
Yeah,
you know
name.
Who it is. Yeah, you know who it is. So, but yeah, Wayne, he's good about it. He always laughs and jokes and even tells stories on himself. A lot of times he gets hurt and nobody would know, but he makes sure to tell us all about it. So we got to pick at him when we can about that. So that's why this sharp-toothed fish wouldn't be any better when he sliced himself open pretty good this year on a meat slicer fixing a dinner. So I don't know about the sharp-toothed fish, how you do with that.
And got the pictures to prove it.
Just leave your lure in the fish and let him go, Wayne. Don't try to get your lure back if you catch him, all right? Do us a favor. We'll buy you another lure to replace it.
Plenty of my lures are in fish's mouths this fall. Probably about $40 worth of mirror lures.
That's what keeps you coming back. That's where they have it.
You need to put them on one of those spongy thingies.
Spongy thingies. Somebody said they have a Wayne up here like that. So everybody's got a Wayne in their lives, I guess. Everybody's got somebody.
Well, we got two of them. We got Forrest. We got Forrest too, who's notorious about getting on the treble hook stuck in his hand.
He's keeping the emergency room in business this fall.
Well, he took care of a lot of those emergencies himself. If you remember the story with the treble hook, and he was getting it out with the nail clipper, cutting into his own flesh.
Yeah, well, we all loved Forrest, but we never said he was always the smartest guy. I don't understand why he didn't just, the best part was in that picture, if anybody who's listening didn't know, Forrest, an angler in our area, once again, got a treble hook in his leg, and he proceeded to get it out by taking fingernail clippers and snipping at the skin around his leg to get the hook loose until he took enough meat out to get the hook out. But if you look in the picture, there's a pair of wire cutters sitting in the boat. I don't know yet to this day why he didn't just try to cut the hook and leave it in his leg, but that's for us anyway. Well, cool. Well, we got everybody's bucket list. Nobody in the chat room is chiming in on their bucket list of fish, but I'm sure everybody has one. If they don't, they should probably start making one. Chip mentioned something the other night about the 12 things to do in 12 months or something, the new 12, make a each month of the year to pick yourself something out there to do that you haven't done before. So maybe we can all make a list of fish that we'd like to catch that way. Wow, chat, now the call room's starting to fill up. We got Redfish Chuck's in the room. Chuck, you in there?
Yeah, man.
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, buddy? Sorry, man. I meant to call in at the beginning of the show, and I was at the store, and I looked down at my watch, and I was like, oh, man, I already missed a half hour. So glad to have you on the air with us, man.
Well, thank you. We're glad to be here. It's been going all right so far for our first night. We've made it through 35 minutes of no major. We've been keeping the show rolling, so I think we're doing all right. So what's going on in your neck of the woods? You keep putting up all these red drum and trout pictures. You're making me a little sick up here while I'm working. Were those pictures today from, did you get on the water again today, or was that still
No. Yesterday's trip. It's freezing here right now. I mean, I know you're kind of dealing with the same thing, but for us, it's cold down here, man. It's just 41 degrees a minute ago when I was outside, so.
Yeah, I'm surprised that people down here. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was just laughing about watching the people walk around down here with the big coats and toboggans on their heads. I was like, I don't even know where they got the clothes from down here. I've never seen so much North Face stuff in Florida. I don't know how everybody down here got all that cold weather gear. It's cold, but it ain't that cold, so.
Yeah, when you live a couple years down here, your blood thins out, and it's just not good. But,
yeah, I got you.
But yeah, no, I won't be fishing for probably at least another day and a half or so because of the cold. Give those fish an opportunity to kind of, you know, rest up, and I don't want to abuse them too bad while they're in the popsicle stage. So, but I look forward to getting back after it here shortly. I just signed up for an online tournament, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Oh, cool. Good luck to you on that. Yeah, it looks like it's going to warm back up. I looked here. It looks like by the weekend we're back up in the 70s down here, so it shouldn't hold out too long, I hope.
Yeah.
Do you find it slows them down a lot down here? I mean, by us, when it gets cold, the fish are already gone. Most of the fish, I should say. That's why the fall is our prime time, because they start staging up. They start fattening up for their winter journey. So what's around now is just the migrant fish, mostly just striper, I guess, basically by our region now. They're about the only thing left to target. We have a few trout here or there, and those are in the bodies of water that stay warm all winter. But so here in Florida, do you find, like, is it just totally, like, did they shut off for a couple of days when we have a snap like that, and you just got to let it balance out?
It really just kind of depends on what led to the snap. If the water was already cold, you know, 2 days of really cold weather is not going to do a whole lot to the fish. I would say like a whole week. If we had a whole week of this kind of temperature, it would definitely shut them down for a while. And the only thing is, well, it's kind of a good thing. You don't have to wake up at ugly 30 to go fishing anymore. You can kind of wake up at like 9 or 10 o'clock and go, and you're not too late getting out on the water. You know, later you let that sun rise, the warmer the slats will get, and the more active the fish will get. So, but yeah, it should be good, man. The weekend looks really good. The water temp should come up just a hair, and those big trout should start firing again.
Awesome. Well, that's cool. Like I said, by us now, I think. What do you say, Kevin? The only show in town pretty much is striper now, no?
Yeah, for the most part. Besides the bluefin tuna that have been coming in within a mile and a half of the beach.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I thought about that earlier today. Yeah, that's been pretty crazy by us and Chuck and everybody else. We've been having bluefin tuna about a mile off the shore in Virginia Beach, which is like crazy. I mean, we travel 60 miles usually up in Virginia Beach to catch a tuna. So they've been catching and hooking up. And have any been landed, Kevin? I know when I was home, I heard of a couple being hooked up and not landed. Has there been any landed?
Yeah, that next week they landed 10, like, in the next day. I mean, as soon as they started kind of getting a hold of them, guys going out there with, you know, big tuna gear and ready for them, you know. They were catching them while looking and, you know, fishing for striper. They were catching them while in striper gear, and people were just getting spooled. I mean, spooled before they can even get, you know, set up to fight this thing. They were getting spooled out. So, people were starting to go out there and target them, and they landed them.
And they're, like, right off of Cape Henry, correct?
Yeah, Cape Henry. A mile and a half off the beach is the closest that I heard. I even heard rumors of one of the tuna pulling, you know, fighting, going into the bay during the fight, like going way into the bay during the fight, like all the way up towards here over Gifted Peak.
Wow.
That's pretty neat. Yeah.
That's pretty wild. Yeah, well, be careful when you're out there. Keep your eyes open. I want to see you catch a bluefin out of the kayak over there.
Yeah, so, you know, people keep asking me, yeah, that sounds like something you would like to do. I'm like, no, a three-hour fight is just not what I want to do. You know, Shante was like, yeah, that sounds great. I said, look, the longest fight you have ever had in a kayak has been 6 minutes. Now, think about an hour and a half to two-hour fight. No, it's not even fun.
Yeah, 5 miles away also.
I want to see you out there with your 50-wide.
Yeah.
I want to see you with the 50 wide in the back of the kayak paddling around trolling for bluefin. That'll be good in your next video.
It can be. No, it's the thing. It can be done, and we don't have to have that big of gear. I mean, you know, the guy did it off of the Hatteras in a 165 pounder. And what's also kind of possible for a kayaker landing out here, it's not real deep. You're going to be in 60 foot of water at probably the deepest spot. So it's not like he's going to go down 1,000 feet and they have to crank him up, you know. But
gotcha.
I'm not doing it.
Okay. You sure you don't want to go, Chuck? Chuck, you can come up and visit us. We'll go tuna and striper fishing. What do you think?
Dude, I'd do it in a minute.
I hear you.
I would do it. I got plenty of tuna gear here. I would be more than happy to try and tackle one of the things. What size are they running up there right now? Are they the big ones?
Up to 300 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, that would be awesome, man. I would love to try and wrangle one of those things out of the kayak. That'd be fun.
I just think it's amazing that they're a mile and a half offshore. Years ago, they used to have that same thing. They didn't get that close, I don't remember, but when the bluefish were really prevalent in our area, they used to catch the blue fins really close to shore because they're doing the same thing they're doing now. They're eating the stripers is what they're there now for. That's their food, and that used to be what the bluefin, the bluefish, they'd be, when the bluefish were really great, the bluefins would come in really close. Not, you wouldn't have to go out as far as the tower, which is 15 miles to catch a bluefin.
Right, and the tower right now is Bluefin Central. I mean, you're 15 miles out and you're really in them.
Right. Just make sure you don't have any striper gear on the boat when you go out that far.
Exactly. Those are the guys who go out to target them or catch them out there.
Yeah, cool.
Such an interesting fishery, man, because we down here don't get bluefins down here.
Right.
So it's cool how their migration pattern takes them kind of around us and around the Bahamas and nowhere near us, so... That's awesome you guys get them that close on occasion.
Yeah, it is, because like I said earlier, I mean, most of all the pelagic fish for our area, you got to go 60 miles out and south, I mean, because that Gulf Stream takes such a wicked hook when it comes up past Carolina that it's almost easier to go down, like Kevin said, to Hatteras or the Outer Banks to do any of your pelagic fish. And we get some white marlin and stuff like that in close, but still... Anything like that in our region is usually a good little haul.
But anything pelagic for us is a mothership trip. You know, to have them this close is kind of rare. Now, Rick Burnley has caught a dolphin, a mahi mahi, a quarter mile off the beach in Hatteras. He did that a couple of years back. He was fishing the boiler out there, if you might, you know, knows where that is, and caught a dolphin out there. You know, a small one, but caught one, paddled out. So that was like one of the rarity. You know, dolphin paddle out catches from up here. But, yeah, every once in a while I get stuff like that. But it's a rarity. It's a rarity.
There was a guy a couple of years ago. It was in one of the kayak angler magazines, I believe, that he did paddle out. It was in Massachusetts. He did paddle out and caught a big bluefin tuna. Did it all of his own, you know, all by himself and everything. Paddled out and caught the bluefin tuna. And, no, I don't have any desire to do that either, like you said, but it would be pretty wild, I guess.
We're going to run
there's a few places that you could paddle out to get them. You know, that's one spot where that guy hit his bluefin. I mean, it's a known spot where they come in and he timed it out. You know, he did his research and that was, you know, he was a trophy hunter and he was hunting them. and it seems like, you know, we're in Pensacola. In Panama Beach, those guys can paddle out and catch sailfish, you know, and that blows me away. That's pretty amazing. Of course, like places like Hawaii and stuff like that, you can paddle out and catch pelagics also. Yeah, it's just amazing, that type of stuff.
Is there anything like that down in this area, Chuck?
An hour and a half south of us, 2 hours south of us, you can start to get into some of them on a regular basis, but where I'm at, it's pretty much flat on all the way out till you reach about 15 or 20 miles or so, where you start getting into some decent depth of water, talking about over 100 foot of water. And we'll get pelagics every now and again in close here, but you're not going to go out and try and target anything besides maybe canfish that just roam along the beaches and that kind of thing. But most of what we're going to be doing this upcoming summer will all be mothership stuff. As Kevin was saying, it's just too far. There's nobody's going to paddle that far to go out and try and catch those fish. But the mothership trips will be interesting, to say the least, because we've got such a variety of